going to talk about the oxen temperament, who is also called the phlegmatic in what was done here the other week. And then is also called the S temperament in the DISC. He's the steady. He's the sturdy. He's the strong. This is that temperament that we want to look at. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the eagle, and now we want to look at the ox temperament. Perhaps it would help me some to show you this temperament in people, so that you'll kind of... Kevin, have you done your test? Are you high ox? Come here. This is a high ox temperament. Steve, you're a primary ox, right? I know you're balanced on some other things, but you're a primary ox, right? Stand up. This is the temperament that we're talking about. If Steve Weaver was here, Steve Weaver's secondary would be an ox. His primary would be eagle. But this is the temperament, and you will be able to see these today as we begin to speak. Now, also, one thing I want to go ahead and make mention of here is that I will be also talking about the negative aspects. You can sit down. Thank you. The negative aspects of these characters. And I want you to see that these guys have already dealt with a lot of things in their lives. What I'll be talking about, and remember, when I do these character traits, we're talking about the high percent personality traits, where it's not being redeemed, where there has not been a coming in of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing a redemptive work in this life and bringing things back. So even when I get into the negative things, I don't want you to think that I think these men, or you oxes, are this way. I want you to understand that a person, though, that is not redeemed, this is how they are, and this is the things they struggle with, and these are the things that they're strong in. This is this temperament. So understand that. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 10, and if you have your character thing with you, we'll be looking at today on page 11 and 12. Try to remember to bring them. And I know like last week a lot of you brought them, and I didn't do it. But I will do them if you'll just keep bringing them. We will get them done. But we'll be on pages 11 and 12 in your traits this week. Now, and if you don't, if you got them at home, then take some notes so you can transfer or get the tape. But this is so important because it's really helping us understand people. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 10. Here we see the four traits, the four characteristics of man. Ezekiel was given in verse 1 of chapter 1 an open heaven. God gave him a vision of perfection. When the Bible talks about things in heaven, this is perfection. This is how it should be on earth. We say, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in perfection." In heaven. And so as Ezekiel had this vision, this open heaven, he was able to see things as they really should be. And then in chapter 1, he says that these four creatures that came out of the presence of God came out and they had these four faces. And they were in the likeness of men. He says, I don't know how to explain it to you. He says, but they were like men. He says, now if I write this down, when I write this down, it's not going to sound like a man. But I want to start off by telling you, these guys, there was something about them that had the likeness of men. And sometimes you can be a lion, you can roar and bite and chew and attack. And sometimes you're this ox. Sometimes you want to have this ox nature. You're very gentle and very working and very steady. And so there's these temperaments that are in us, and God wants to take these things and perfect us. And the thing that it's really showing us is that people that aren't like us aren't weird. They have another face. Or they have a dominant another face. They may be something like us, but there's something different about them. And so what we're starting to learn and starting to see is that people aren't weird. That's the way God's made them. And now He's wanting to redeem these things and bring it into perfection, into an open heaven. And He wants to open your eyes so that you can see these things. Now here in Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 14, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub or an angelic being. The second face was the face of a man. The third face was the face of a lion. And the fourth face was the face of an eagle. Which one is missing? Do you notice that the ox is likened unto an angelic creature? Now the ox face that was in chapter 1 has now become an angel face. How many of you have ox children, you know that your child, his primary temperament is the ox. He's an angel. She's an angel. They don't cause you any trouble. They don't rebel. They don't bring hard times to your family. They do what you ask them to do, or at least they tell you they're going to do what you ask them to do. Right? This is that ox. This is the angel child. And also some of you big old strong men who try to be so rough and so gruff. You're an ox. You're there's something about you that's very gentle, very steady. You're an angel. And some of you women, Kelly, what is your primary? Have you done your trait? What is it? Man, you're high ox, so somewhere's in there. There's ox, isn't there? Not. Well, there's this thing about, like Kelly, that just really cares about people and really wants to minister to people. And there's this ox nature that in you ladies, you're ministering spirits. You're ministering spirits. And you know, there's things that you want to do for people. And you're angels. You're angels. And so I want you to understand this part of this particular character. And if you've got your notes, and if you'll look on page 12, the very first thing that you'll see there is that this trait is very pleasant. It's a very pleasant personality trait. Very pleasant. There are, you know, these people are so easy to get along with. If you can't get along with these people, then there's something wrong with you. You can't get along with anything, anyone, if you can't get along with ox. They're just so easy. They're so easygoing. Now, they're the gentlest of all the personalities, of the lion and of the man and of the eagle. The ox takes precedence in its gentleness. The lion, the man, and the ox are all meat eaters. The ox is not. Did I say that right? The lion, the eagle, and the man are all meat eaters. The ox is not. Now, that doesn't mean much to us. What that means to me, be a meat eater to you and me, would mean to go over to ShopRite or find Doug or call him on the phone, they'll bring me some steaks home, or go down to McDonald's and get a double patty, of course, a hamburger. That would be a meat eater to you. But in the Scriptures, a meat eater is that one that attacks, that one that kills, and that one that devours. And the ox doesn't do that. It eats straw. So of all these temperaments, it's going to change the least in the millennia, because you know what we're all going to eat? We're all going to eat straw in the millennia. And the ox and the lion is going to lay down together. And the lamb and the leopard. And so this person is more like an angelic creature. It's more like that God is bringing us into. So I want you to understand first and foremost that it's a very pleasant personality. It's a very wonderful personality. Now back on page 12. Or 11. The other page. Page 11. I want to distinguish between this characteristic and the others. The ox characteristic, you can easily confuse with the eagle personality. And I just want to go over some things that make it noticeable and how you can tell the difference, because you need to know about yourself and you also need to know about other people. What personality are you dealing with here? And so this is helping me understand that when I get people together and if I understand some differences, then I can understand which personality traits these are. They both are kind of low-keyed, especially in crowds. They're not real mouthy in crowds. The man is the one who loves the crowds. He's always talking. He's always swinging and talking and touching you. And this is the man personality. The lion personality, he'll talk. He'll just get his vision out there. He's going to let you know what he thinks. And he doesn't have problems with crowds. But both the eagle and the ox have a little problem being mouthy or talking a lot in crowds. Not that they don't like crowds. They just kind of more reserved. But the best one at this is the ox, and the worst at crowds is of course the eagle. But we'll talk about it. On the other side where they're different. The eagle, the ox is always smiling. You always find that they're happy. Now they may not really be happy, but they're still smiling. And the eagle personality doesn't do a lot of smiling. When the eagle personality is the dominant personality, you'll find this person doesn't do a lot of smiling. But your ox personality is usually a smiling personality. In other words, the thing that the ox basically says is there's just nothing worth worrying about. I'm just not going to worry about nothing. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy life. And sometimes this will get to you so much you want to shake them and say, is there anything in there besides a smile? Because there just doesn't seem to be a passion about anything. Because they're just not going to worry about anything. And being sitting back and relaxed, they're the best. The eagle is the worst. The eagle's all jittery inside. This intense pressure inside. But the ox just sits back and relaxes. You can walk in. The house is a mess. The kids are running. There's mud on the carpet. They're sitting back in their little bubble on the in their easy chair watching television. And nothing's bothering them. They're the most relaxed people. Hello now. Am I getting there? Being comfortable one-on-one. I need to put this up. I don't have this up yet, do I? I want to. Because this is that worksheet. Where did I put it? You see how far I got off the ground? Where did I put it? I want you to put that on your worksheet. Because, okay, here we go. Okay. One-on-one, the ox is the best. One-on-one. They'll sit. They'll listen to you. They'll just sit and let you talk. And you really convince you they're really listening to you. I mean, they're really. But they also talk a lot. They will talk a lot. When you get around an eagle is very uncomfortable one-on-one, and they're uncomfortable to be around one-on-one. They're difficult to talk to, and they're difficult to carry on and talk to you. There's this hard thing that happens when you're one-on-one with the eagle, but it's very relaxed, sit back, talk, and enjoy with the oxen. Long-winded. They can be long-winded in a crowd. An ox can. The eagle is never long-winded. They kind of say what they want to say, and that's it. And you're going to do most of the talking. But an ox will get talking. Now, the best thing that you can see here with the ox, or one of their primary things, is other people's children. The eagle is a great parent. We talked about that last week. But they're a great parent with their children. But other people's children, especially other people's obnoxious, unruly, undisciplined children, they have a terrible time with, does the eagle. But the ox, he just that doesn't bother him. I walk into the classroom where Steve's at, and I get amazed. I come out of there sometimes just shaking my head and so amazed. He has entered in conversation with these kids. I'm talking about 4-year-old, 5-year-olds. He's sitting in there and he's entered into a real conversation. He is enjoying it. And he's really, and they love him so much. And it's just amazing to me to observe this. It's amazing. He's really enjoying it. I said, he's really enjoying this. How is this possible? And oxes make the best teachers because they enjoy being around children. They don't bother them. Eagles are difficult to become teachers because they want everything precise and consistent, and they make good science teachers if the kids are listening. But if the kids become unruly, and as long as the kids want to learn, they make good science teachers and good math teachers. Because it's all dat, dot, dot, dot. And it's got to be concise and done in a certain way. But you'll find out when you study the education system that the teachers they have the hardest time keeping is math and science teachers. Because they get into class and they find that these kids are unruly. They don't care. And they don't want to learn. And they won't listen to me. And so it lasts 4 or 5 years and they're out of there. But your ox, you remember that teacher that you had when you were in high school? And that teacher's still there? You remember Miss Spangler? You remember old Miss Spangler? I think she's still there. The woman had to be 65 when I was in the high school. And I think she's still there. I mean, kids just don't bother them. They love them. And so these are the way you can really tell the difference in these temperament traits. And they really do love children, especially other people's children too. They love theirs, but they love others as well. Outwardly recognized by. They're very low-key and they're pleasant. They're very low-key and they're pleasant people to be around. they, you know, they're witty. They can make you laugh and those things, but basically they're low key and they're witty, but they're very pleasant. Turn the page and let's get some things over here that I want to point out. Things that others don't realize about the ox. I want to touch this, and I want to do it first on page 12. The ox nature, personality, Isaiah 1:3 tells us that the ox knows its master. The thing you need to understand about an ox is they're long-lasting. We just talked about the school. Things just don't bother them. They'll get into something and nothing really bothers them, and they can just keep on doing it forever. They're long-lasting, and they know their master. They don't have problems with orders. Lions have problems with orders. The man has problems with orders. And the eagle has a terrible time with orders. But this ox, he just doesn't have problems with orders. So the ox knows his master. Yes, sir, that's no problem. We'll get that done. And you can pile it on. In Psalms 144:14, do I have that one up there? If you got your page, you can put on them heavy loads. And then in Job 39:10, these are things now that's necessary to know about this temperament trait. But in Job 39:10-12, and I wrote this down, and this is what it says: will the wild ox consent to serve you? Now, here what's happening in Job is God is asking some rhetorical questions, and all the answers are yes. Will an ox serve you? Will an ox know his master? Will an ox serve the master? Yes. The thing about an ox, one of the primary temperament traits, is that it will serve its master. It knows its master, and it will serve you. And it will serve you for years. It's long-lasting. The eagle will fly away. The man will leave. The lion will run away. But that ox is going to stay, and that ox is going to serve. Will he stay by your manger at night? Thing, a temperament trait about this, the old ox, is that he's always... you'll find... Daddy's an ox. My dad's an ox. Married my mama for 50 years until she passed away. He was there for her. He'd cover her old cold feet up. She had the coldest feet in the whole world. And Daddy would still, 50 years later, covering her feet up. That ox is going to be there for you. He'll lay at your manger. He'll be there with you at night. Can you hold him in the furrow with a harness? Will he yoke up with you? Will he get involved in what you want to get done? Will he get involved with you? Sure he will. He'll yoke up. He'll harness up with you. Will he till the valleys for you? There are three basic animals in the Scriptures that will plow: the horse, the donkey, and the ass, and the ox. That's four, I know, but one of those are kind of the same. But there's four that will plow. And the thing that you've got to understand about the ox is that the ox can do valleys, plural. The horse and the mule and the other ones will only do a couple of acres. We're talking valleys. We're talking valleys, 15, 20 acres. An ox will get in there and he'll plow that whole thing. He'll just keep on going. You get him going and he'll plow the whole thing. He'll plow valleys for you. Can you rely on him? Yep. You can rely on him. You can trust him with your life. Will you leave your heavy work for him? Yep. You sure can. He'll get it done. Now, it may take him a while sometimes, but he'll get it done. And can you trust him? You sure can. To bring the grain and gather your threshing floor. You got to understand in Proverbs 14:14, it says where no oxen are, the crib is clean. In other words, where we store our grain up, it's not there. But where there is oxen, but much increase is by the strength of an ox. What I'm trying to say to you is the church has to have this ox creature to get things done, to plow the fields, to plow the valleys, to harness up with us. You've got to have this temperament trait. And the more you have, the more you can get accomplished. So I want us to see that in this temperament trait and how important it is. And things about it. In Job 39:10, that's one of the best scriptures that kind of depict to us the nature of the ox. I'm back on page 11. So their primary strength, or a strength they have, is that they're long-lasting. And now I want to touch this. not as skilled as, and I go through these things here, and what I'm trying to I'll work into now is some of the negative aspects of this nature. The thing I want to talk about is they're not as sensitive as the other characteristics. And I want to make sure, because it sounds like you're contradicting yourself. You're talking about how meek they are and how they will labor and work with you. But in actuality, they're not sensitive as some of the other traits. Everybody loves the ox except the person married to the ox. Now, hear me what I'm trying to say. Because that ox's spouse sees that person so loving and caring for other people. But when that person gets alone with that ox, they want that loving and caring. They want that touchy-touchy, feely-feely, huggy-huggy. And it's not there. And they see this ox there. And the ox is a... You know, if you bring a cut finger to an ox, he will bandage it, medicate it, take you to the doctor, whatever you need. But you can be standing as close as from me to her with a cut finger, and he won't even notice it. And the other temperaments, they send out these antennas, especially the eagle. They're sending out these antennas because they're wanting to find out how... But the ox just kind of sits back and smiles. Pretty close, huh, Galen? Yeah. And everybody loves the ox except that person's spouse because they want this touch and this. They want the person to be sensitive to them. They want the person to care about them like they see them caring about other things and other people. But they just, it's not there. And you need to understand it. And we're going to talk about how to bring that about in just a little while. Or how to help that. And another thing that you have to understand is that the next thing about these things that you have to understand about this ox temperament is they hate conflict. I'm going to tie these two together in just a second. They hate conflict. There's no problem understanding what a lion's passion is. Do you believe you understand my passions pretty well? Yeah, I mean, I tell you every week my passions. Okay? We were at the elders retreat, and we were all being ministered to. And so I asked the question that Judy and I were being ministered to, and I said, am I easy to have a relationship with? And Steve Weaver said, well, Delbert, it's according to how well that person adapts to your personality. I thought that was such a great answer. We all laughed, you know. But you see, there's no, you know, my passions, because I'm going to tell you my passions. A man's going to tell you, the man character is, he's going to tell you his passion. And, you know, the man's part of me, you know, sometimes when I want you to respond to me, when I want to know if I'm doing okay, I'll ask you. This is good preaching, isn't it? It's good stuff, huh? Right? But the ox can't do that. The ox will never ask for that. He has this part of him that he needs to know it, but he'll never ask for it. And so he hates this conflict. But everything is conflict to him. Bills are conflict to him. And they don't like to do checkbooks. Because that's conflict. And they don't like to discipline children. That's conflict. And they'll work at the same job for 15 years and never ask the boss for a raise. Why? It's conflict. And so what they create for them is this bubble world that's hidden behind this smile. And no conflict. And the problem that you end up with this is that they create a world that's not real. They create a sort of a fantasy world where they want to escape from reality, because in reality everything is conflict. But in their world, everything's peace. And there's just nothing worth getting upset about. So, I'm trying to ease in to where I'm trying to go. And I know I'm a little slow. Again, realize that the meat eaters are the other three temperaments. This one just does not like to attack. It does not like any kind of conflict. If you'll look on page 12 with me one more time. Here are some scriptures here about how it hates conflict. The other, it eats grass. And then we find out in Isaiah 11:7 and Isaiah 65:25 that in the millennia, the others are going to come into this dimension where it's going to be more like the lion, more like the ox, and it's going to become like us. It does not like to attack. It does not like to fight, and it does not like to kill. But what you've got to understand is God loves this ox, and it's His angel. And it is the most gentle of all the characteristics. And when you hamstring the ox, when you muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth the wheat, a thing I find, and I'm kind of ahead of myself a little bit, but a thing I find in some of the most, in some of the hardest marital situations that we've counseled, is that when you have an ox husband and a lion woman, a lion mother, and what you have here is you have what appears to be a Jezebel and Ahab situation. It's not true. What you have is an ox and a lion. And so when you counsel the spouse, especially if the spouse is a lion, they tend to lose respect for the husband because they never see him forcing their way into advancement. They never see him with a real passion for life. They never see them with this. And so they interpret this as a real bad meekness. But you've got to understand, wife, if you've got an ox husband, that God loves that man. It's His angel. And their battle is for respect and appreciation. They never feel respected, especially by the thing and the person they love. And they never feel appreciated. Now, back up one on page 11 from what I just gave you. And what this results in is generational curses. Do you know who your career alcoholics are? Do you know who your career drug addicts are? Most of the time, these tend to be oxen. Because they just won't change. Once you get them doing it for 20 years, they're going to do it. I've been a drug addict for 20 years, I might as well stay one. I've been an alcoholic for 20 years, I might as well stay an alcoholic. And what this does is that it causes them to escape into a place that's not real. They create this world, they create this place that they can escape to through drugs or alcohol. They escape into this world that's not real because they just won't face conflict. And so what they do is they go out, they get drunk, they spend all the money that they should have paid for bills, they come home, what they've got? Conflict. So now what do? They go get drunk again because now they've got to escape from the conflict. And it becomes a career type of a thing with them. And so they come to this, and again, you got to understand that with this ox nature, and it's going to get good in just a second, but just let me build this thing. Well, you got to understand that with this ox nature, and I'm going to get you oxes back up. Just hang in here with me. It's going to be good. But you got to understand that with this ox nature, they tend to be lazy. I said tend to be. You got to womp them, get them there. You got to get them going and go to the stall and bring them out and yoke them up and womp them and get them going. And they have this tendency just to be lazy. But God wants to fix all that. It was good unto them, wasn't it, oxes? It was good. And because of that, then they don't feel respected and they don't feel appreciated. And the thing that the male ass or the male ox has to understand and get is a career. They need a career. Because they are the people. They are the, where did I put it? They are the people that do not do well with their own business. And in the world of the great American dream, where everybody should have their own business. Listen, oxen just should not have their own business. I'm talking about the highest, the high ox personality, where this is your very dominant part. And here's why: because you hate conflict. And somebody starts stealing from you, or somebody lies to you, or somebody won't come to work, you won't face that, and you'll let them steal from you, and you'll let them keep being lazy on the job, because you don't want to face that and have that conflict. And so you need to find a good career, one that you can go to and have a career and do what God has called you to do in life, but understand everybody is not to be have their own business. Does an ox know his master? See, the best thing for an ox to do is to have a good boss and have a good job and have a good career. And so this is the thing that you need to understand, and I'll develop this even more. But they don't feel respected and they don't feel appreciated. And what they really need is a career. And I'm talking again from experience with people and marriage counselings and things like that. Some of the most difficult cases is when a woman has lost respect for her husband. So how do you relate to him? How do you relate to him? Well, I've got some do's and don'ts. Don't expect them to take initiative. Don't expect them to be sensitive. Don't expect them to be creative. And don't expect them to bring order. And don't expect them to be ambitious. This is if there's this high ox temperament. Now, if they've got the other temperaments that are in there that can help balance these things, then they will do these things. But if it's in a high ox temperament, don't expect them to do these things. Because if you do, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to frustrate your mate. And you're going to end up arguing and probably separating. So understand that this person, the way God's made this person, and God loves the ox, the way God's made this person is this way. What you do. How do you relate to them? You can give them structure. And they do enjoy the manger. They do enjoy the fences. Can you keep a lion in a fence very well? An eagle? Man? But see, the ox loves the manger. The ox loves the fences. He likes the boundaries. He likes the structure. He likes the career work where he goes in at 9 and he gets off at 5. And he knows what he's supposed to do while he's there. And all he's got to do is this. And this is just very structure-oriented. Now, I'm talking again about the high ox personality trait. When you understand this about this person, it helps you understand them. And you push them wisely. You have to push an ox. But you have to do it wisely. Now, let's do the child. You got an ox child. And you want this ox child to do dishes. So you tell this ox child, you're going to do the dishes. Probably the ox child is going to say, okay. But does the ox child do the dishes? No. He doesn't want conflict, so he's not going to say, I'm not going to do the dishes. He'll say, yes, I'm going to do the dishes, but then not do the dishes. So what do? You have to push this ox child. Now, let's go back to the ox in the manger. You go to the ox in the manger. You say, ox, we're going to plow today. But does the ox get out and plow? What do you have to do to that ox? You got to start pulling on that ox and get that ox. And sometimes you get behind the ox with a rod. And you say, whoop. He'll go, whoo, and then he'll walk out there. And you can yoke him up. And you say, hit him with the reins. Let's go plow, ox. Whoop. And here we go. And you start plowing. You got this stir. And you got to plow. You got to plow this valley. And so you start plowing. And the ox about halfway down stop. Let's go, ox. I want to. Whop. And you did it. You did this about. You do this for a couple of furrows. And then this ox will plow the whole valley for you and never stop. So this kid, well, you want this kid to wash dishes? You gonna wash dishes? I don't want to. Whoop! Ooh, all right, I'll do it. And they're like, and they'll do it a day or two. And so you come in, they didn't do the dishes. Why you, ox child, said you gonna wash the dishes? Wash the dishes? I don't want to. Whoop! All right, I'll wash. And you do this you do this day after day, and this ox will start washing these dishes, and he'll do it for 20 years. As long as that kid's in your house, he'll do the dishes. He'll plow the whole valley for you. All right. You got an ox mate. An ox mate is not responsive to huggy and kissing and those kinds of things. It's not in their temperament. And so you got to get them out of the manger. Womp. I don't want to hug. And so you say, I want you to hug me. I'm not going to feed you supper until you come home and give me three kisses and tell me something great. So I don't want to. Kid comes home. I don't want to tell you something. Womp. Okay. Kissy, kissy, kissy. You're beautiful. Comes home the next day. Won't do it. What do you do? Womp. Kissy, kissy, kissy. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Let's see. And after you do it, and you just have to understand. Then you got to get them plowing and get them going. And once you get them going, though, they'll do it forever. They'll drive to work the same way every day. They'll come home. They get into these things and they'll start plowing that fern. They'll plow another fern. They'll plow, and they do it the same way. You know who are the least likely children to go to college? The ox kids. The ox kids are. But they need a career. And so if you determine that this ox kid needs a career so he can plow the valleys for God, that he can plow the valleys and be successful in life, you've got to get your rod out. You're going to school. You're going to college. I want to walk on. And you have to understand this temperament. And they'll go, and as long as you stay after them about their grades, and you womp them, and you keep them going, they'll do well. Is this okay? Do you understand what I'm... The ox nature in his high... You got to get them doing it. I want you to take out the trash. I want to! Womp! All right! Am I right now? Is this person? If you know this person, you know that this is the way this person is. And it's not wrong. Understand, it's not wrong. It's the way they are. It's the way God's made them. And what we tend to do as people is take advantage of this wonderful, gentle creature. We tend to hamstring the ox. We want to muzzle the mouth of the ox. And I want to show you some things that God really says about these beautiful creatures. First Corinthians 9:9, and in two other passages, this was quoted several times in the scriptures, but it talks about don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. It makes God mad when you do not take care of that ox. And because you want to plow your... Some people are so greedy. Some wives are so mean. Some husbands are so mean. Is they won't bless their husband. They won't bless their wife. And they'll muzzle their mouth so they'll do things to them. They'll hold back... they'll hold back good things from them. Because, and that makes God angry. You got it. That's enough said. And they muzzle in the mouth. Bosses are mean. They won't let them off. They're cruel because they won't fight back. And they just beat them and they muzzle them out. Makes God mad. Job 6:5 says, doth the wild aspray, when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder. Does the ox ever complain? Very seldom. Very seldom. These are so gentle creatures, so loving creatures. They very seldom complain about anything. God, I mean, we treat them so rude because we can. And then this one is really neat. You need to add this one. This one's not on your paper if you've got it. But in Exodus 23:12, people want to know about the Sabbath. Why is the Sabbath given? What's it about? Well, one reason that it's given is so that you can rest your ox. See, the thing about the ox, he'll work every day. every day. He'll plow valleys without stopping. Won't take a day off. So one reason that the Sabbath was given was so that those people would let the ox rest. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Why? Why? That thine ox and thine ass may rest. Well, see, oxes have a strange sense of humor back there, I know. But one reason that the Sabbath was given is so that we'll let them rest. And we want to work them. We want to push them. We want to get out of them all we can. Why? Because they let us. They just let us. Don't expect them to bring order. Don't expect them to be ambitious. But you must appreciate them. But you do it with structure. And I know I used that one twice. I repeated that one because it's so important. It's the ox that likes the manger. It's the ox that likes the fence. The others don't. And they need structure. And then finally, the career that you need to bring your children into, or the career that that you need to be in if you are an ox, characteristic is it needs to be in a large organization or something that has an organizational format to it. It needs to be organized. You won't be happy with your own business. You'll be used. You'll be abused because people can and people will. Other natures will take such advantage of you. Are so wonderful. And if we're going to plow, and if we're going to load up, and we're going to carry the weight of this ministry, we've got to have the ox. I hope that I've said some things that this ministered to you, if you are an ox, that helps you understand yourself a little better. And then if you have an ox child or an ox mate,